And the word says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Let's pray. Father God, I come to you this morning, and Lord, I praise you, and I honor you, and I love you, and I thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, Lord, to stand behind this pulpit, Lord God, to speak to your people. God, I pray this morning that every word that you want me to say comes out of me for your glory, Lord God, and not for mine. Lord, I pray that if there's one here this morning that doesn't know you, Lord God, that, Father, they come to you today, Lord God, that they accept that call, Lord God. Father, I pray if there's a Christian here, Lord God, that might not know you, might not be as close to you as they want to be, Lord God. Might be something going on, God, that they need to take care of. I pray that they do that today. God, I pray for those that are sick. I pray for Brother Tommy. I lift up Brother Buddy to you, Lord God. And Father, we just give you the praise. Thank you, Lord God, for those that are here this morning, Lord God, and those that couldn't make it, Lord. And we just give you the praise, give you the honor, and we give you the glory. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Romans, some of Paul's writings. And Paul is, I wrote this as a devotional this week in one of my morning devotionals. And I'm going to get back to Revelation chapter 11. That's where we're at. We're going to get back there one day and finish the book of Revelation. But I got to preach what God wants me to preach. And I wouldn't want to stand up here if I was saying something else. But in Romans chapter 1, we were talking last week, that Paul is a writer. And Paul, of all people, think about Paul. He was the one that went out with warrants in the book of Acts to get Christian men and children, to persecute them, to stop religion in all forms. And the Lord struck him on the road to Damascus and opened up his eyes, blinded him, and he had to go and do what the Lord said. And he was blinded, and the scales come off his eyes. And from that day forward, he stood up for the Lord. Now think about that when it comes to us. And there's one word in here that I want to talk about, and that's ashamed. I think about that a lot, about ashamed. Think about that. Ashamed means feeling of guilt or a feeling of disgrace. And I want to ask you, before I go any further, that word ashamed, we're talking about ashamed of the gospel, ashamed of knowing or telling someone that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. I'm talking about being ashamed and having guilt in front of the world that you're not a Christian. There's so many people today. There's so many churches today. There's so many rituals today. There's so many preachers today that are watering down the gospel. And the reason that they're watering it down is because they are ashamed of what the gospel says. We have got to, as God's children, do what it is that God tells us to do. My favorite scripture, Matthew 6:33. We have to seek him first. Put him first in our life. And if we put him first in our life, then we are going to enjoy the righteousness that he gives us in the way that he intended it to be. He says, Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Remember, think of a few things that Paul in his lifetime. He was chained to prisoners and in jail. And remember Paul and Silas in the jail? And they began to, most people that was in jail would be crying and trying to find some way to get out, mad because they're in jail. Paul wasn't. He was not ashamed of why he was in jail. And so he began to preach, and the jail doors opened. And we know the rest of the story, that people were saved, even the guard that he is chained to, become a Christian after that. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. He wasn't ashamed. He stood on the street corners and proclaimed it. He was beaten, and he'd get right up and proclaim it again. And people, you and I need to have a love for Jesus Christ just as the Apostle Paul. We're no different. We are all, At one time, if you're saved, we were all at one time headed for devil's hell. But because of God's grace, because of His mercy, because of His grace, we are here today and we have something to look forward to. And that is that one day we'll get to go to heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul tells us in his writing here, verse 16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I want to tell you, it's the gospel of Christ. It's not no other religion this morning. It's not something that some man has thought up. It's not some way of worshiping that somebody has recreated, something that they took out of the Bible that they want to put in the context that they want to put it in and do what it says. It is what God says, and what nobody else says don't count. It's what God says. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of God. As I wrote the devotional that I wrote this week on this, those that get it and those that read it, I asked a question. And that question was, are you ashamed? Are you ashamed to tell a friend, tell a loved one that you're a Christian and maybe somebody that's lost? Are you ashamed when you go to the hospital to pray out loud with somebody that's in the hospital? Are you ashamed? That's what Paul is saying. He's saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Are you ashamed? Maybe you're here today and you work. A lot of us are retired or semi-retired and you don't get out as much as you used to. But maybe you work and you go to lunch with four or five guys or four or five girls and you're sitting there and the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, is telling you, you need to pray. Do you pray? Do you say, wait a minute, if y'all don't mind, I'm going to pray? That is standing up for God. That is not being ashamed of God. People don't realize how much that you can do for the Lord Jesus Christ by not being ashamed of it. You can witness to people. You see somebody on the street corner, you get to see more and more of them in Huntsville now. You see somebody on the street corner, God says, hey, you need to help that person. Do you help them? Do you walk over and say, here's some money, go buy you something to eat? See, that you can do that, but there's one thing a lot of us leave out. Paul didn't leave it out. Paul said, here's you some money, go get you something to eat in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ told me to give you that. You need to not be ashamed. You need to be bold. You need to stand up. You need to tell people. I'm just asking you simple questions this morning. I've been through the same thing. I've told y'all before probably, but when I went to work when I was bivocational in College Station area, I went to work for a company. I was a regional manager, and I would go meet with architects and engineers and sheriffs and people that are building jails and things, and we'd all have a meeting on a project that we're doing, going over the blueprints and stuff, and then we'd always go to lunch that day. Or we'd go out and eat that night. And some of them would be doing things that I didn't do. And I went a couple times and I didn't pray. You know, I'd bow my head and say my little prayer. But then the Lord Jesus Christ, one time I was in Oklahoma City with one of our biggest account holders that I knew was not a Christian. And God had laid it on my heart the last time and made me feel, you know how the Holy Spirit does you when you don't obey, that I needed to witness some people. And I did. That one time we went to a restaurant, and I never will forget, my boss got on me the next day, but he wanted to get this big account, and I got it, and the supper that night cost him about $2,500. But before we ate, I prayed. I said, if y'all don't mind, just take your caps off a minute. I'm going to pray and ask God about this food. And I prayed and thanked God for the food. And later on, a couple weeks later, this one guy that was the owner of this company come to me. He invited me in his office. He said, tell me about Jesus. And I told him about Jesus. And he was a hellion. He was a guy that had a lot of money. He'd done a lot of things. And I mean, like people do, that, you know, he wasn't a bad man, he was a good man. But face it, being good don't get you to heaven. Jesus Christ and his mercy and his grace get you to heaven. And anyway, Mark told me, he said, tell me about him. And I told him about it. And a couple months later, he got saved. He started going to church and he got saved. After I retired from this company or left this company after 10 years and went into the full-time ministry, I got a call that he had terrible terminal cancer and he died. And I go back to that in my mind a lot of times. I say, if I hadn't have done that, God done it. But God used me to reach him. I had nothing to do with it other than obeying God. You don't think about stuff like that. I know I've told y'all this is the best illustration of all. The one I told was good, the guy got saved. My brother was pastor at Richard Baptist Church. And his sound director one Sunday night at church, he said, the Lord has laid it on my heart to go talk to Brother, I'll just use the name, Brother Owens. And he said, I need to do it. And Reagan told him, he said, you better go do it. Well, Floyd that night left the church, took his wife and kids home, and he went to see this guy, but this guy's house was off the road about 200 yards, had a cattle guard. He went to the cattle guard and he saw a light on in his house by his chair that he always sat in, elderly guy. And the Lord said, you need to go in there and talk to him and pray with him. Well, he decided, he got about halfway up and he said, I'm not going to bother this man. It's 10 o'clock at night. I'm not going to bother him. He goes. Turns around, goes back home. Next morning, he goes to the church. And Reagan said, did you go see Brother Owens last night? He said, no, I didn't. He said, well, he passed away last night. He said, I just got back from the house. He said, we don't know. That's the reason Paul says, be strong. That's the reason Paul says, don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. And there's so many people today, preachers, teachers, people that call themselves good Christians that will not stand up for God. People, if we don't stand up for God, all those babies that you saw come up here a while ago and say the Lord's Prayer, if we don't stand up for God and we don't train them up in the ways of God, well then, where will the church be if the Lord tarries longer? If time goes on and on and on, they are the future of the church. People that get saved, young people that get, they are the future of the church. Our teenagers, our youth group, they are the future of the church. And if we are ashamed of the church, so many times churches have meetings and banquets and stuff, and God is never mentioned. We leave God on Sunday morning. We leave him canned up on Sunday morning. We don't do anything. We walk out the door, and as a old black preacher said in Chicago, I can't think of his name, but he said he walked out one day and he looked at the shadow of a steeple in the snow and he said it went out just to the curb of the street and he said, you know, I'm going to use that as an illustration. That's just about how far the gospel goes to the point of that steeple. So we get in our cars and we go home and we forget. And you know, that may not be you this morning. You may be witnessing a machine. I've had people say, I just can't witness. Well, I go back to what I started saying a while ago. You can witness to people by not even opening your mouth to them. You can witness to people. You don't know how many people are looking at you when you are sitting in a restaurant and they're looking at you and they're praying. They see you praying. Some little kid that's with them, I say, Mama, what are they doing? Well, Mama's got to tell them what they're doing. You see, we need to. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. And you know what? The other thing, you don't have to say nothing. You just do what God tells you to do. Because God promised us he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He said that if he asked you to do something, he's going to go with you and tell you what to say and what to do. And if we do that, and people, I told you a one of my good stories about the man in Oklahoma City. But I've got a bunch of bad ones that I didn't need, that I didn't go, that I didn't do it, that I wish I'd have done it. That it's too late. When somebody's gone, you can't, it's too late, you know. There's a lot of them, you know, people, I buried a fellow 3-4 months ago. For years, he was a drunkard. For years, I'd go see him, and you want me to pray? I don't need all that prayer. But right, and I just kept on and kept on and kept on. And finally, the Friday before he died on Tuesday, he accepted Jesus Christ, and I know he's in heaven right now. Just because I learned, and I don't do it every time. I'm preaching to me as I'm preaching. We need to be bold about the gospel. We need to tell people about Jesus Christ. We need to take Jesus with us past that car you get in today. Take him back home with you. Take him home with you. I was reading a book this week. This lady and her husband was talking. He was talking about going to the Holy Land on a trip. And he said, "Lord, let's go to the Holy Land. Can you imagine standing over there and standing on the Mount of Olives and reciting the Lord's Prayer? Can you imagine going over there and standing and proclaiming it?" She said, "Why don't we just stay home and proclaim it in our house?" You see, that's what a lot of us don't do. I mean, face it. You come to church, you drag the church sometimes. You don't really want to come to church. People, if you love the Lord like Paul loved the Lord, like the Word tells us to love the Lord, you're going to want to come to church. You're going to want to go to church. You're going to know when you mess up, and you're going to know when it's God talking to you. There's some people God don't want us to talk to. But if he inspires you to do something, you do it. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." And there again, everyone that believes. Don't make any difference if the guy's been a drunkard all his life. You see, I talked about that some last week. It doesn't make any difference who you are. Don't make any difference where you're at in life, where you've been in life, what you've done in life. God loves every one of us just how we are. If you don't think God don't love the street person out there, the alcoholic, the lost people, he loves them as much as he loves you and I. Matter of fact, he said he came into the world to heal those that were sick. He said you and I had already knew him. You know, we've got it. But we need to reach a lost and dying world. Verse 17 says, before I do that, I want to go to Acts chapter 3 just a second. Lord popped in my head just a second. Let me find it. Bear with me. We got plenty of time this morning. Where is it at, Lord? Acts chapter 3, verse 26. And God is talking. "To you first, God having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you for your iniquity." God sent his son into this world that everyone, that includes everyone, that every one of us would be able to be saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ, by the fact that the only fact, and I tell y'all every Sunday and every funeral I preach, it don't, y'all may be tired of hearing this, and you'll hear it as long as I'm here. Been here 15 years, I'm hoping I'm here 15 more. But it don't make any difference how many Bible verses you can quote. It don't make any difference how many times you come to church, though I want you to come every Sunday. I want you to come to Sunday school. That's where we learn that. But what makes a difference is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. That's it. If you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He will take care of everything you need when you get in His Word. The same is true with the people that might not come to church, that might come in here one day and you say, well, there's old so-and-so. I can't believe he showed up at church dressed like that or walking like that or smells like smoke or however you want to. God don't care. When are we going to get... The church is his biggest enemy. I told some men that last night in the church, in a meeting. The church is its biggest enemy because we think that we are somebody. We ain't nobody. We are just saved by the grace of God. That's all. And it is our business not to be ashamed of the gospel and tell others about him. It says in verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith. Faith come by hearing. The word of God. Doing what the word of God said. And God tells us, when the disciples, right before he ascended, what did he tell the disciples? He gathered them together. He's fixing to ascend into heaven. And he tells them to go into the world and to preach the gospel in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Everybody. We got a revival coming up in a couple of weeks. And I pray to God that we invite people, and I pray to God that each and every one of y'all would come to revival, because you know sometimes, I know you can't come every night. Come every night if you can, but sometimes another preacher coming in here to preach four or five sermons, he may reach people that God don't reach through me. Hey, bring your friend, bring your loved one, because God told us not to be ashamed of the gospel. I'm going now to, I'm jumping around this morning. Lord, just laid another one on me. I don't even know where I'm at. Psalm 39. Psalms 40, verse 9. Listen to what he says on the same subject, I bet. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. What's Paul telling? Don't be ashamed of the gospel. In Proverbs, the writer is saying, I do not restrain my lips. I may say something that you don't want me to say, but that's too bad, because God told me to tell you that. And if you do what God says, don't do what I say do, get in the Word, because I promise you, I am not going to give you nothing but the Word of God. I promise you that. Because if I was up here trying to put on a show or do what, be a big speaker, I'm kind of like Paul. Paul said when he came to him that he was not very eloquent in speech. I never have been. But I'm going to tell you what God said. And God said to not restrain your lips, to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he can do for your life, what he has done in your life. What do you tell? You tell people say, I'm just not good. I'm just not good enough. God didn't give me that gift. Well, he gave every one of us gifts. I admit some people have the gift of visiting and knocking on doors and spreading the gospel. But every one of us can spread the gospel by just simply praying, just by simply walking that walk and talking that talk when you're outside this church. Because people are looking at every move you make. People are looking to see if you're going to fail them, if you're not, if you're acting like a Christian. If you do something that is not Christian-like, what's the first thing they say? I thought you went to church. I told y'all, when I was pastor of Millican Baptist Church in Brazos County, all of our kids were more small and they were going to church. Every Sunday morning we had to drive about 10 miles from Navasota to Millican. And every Sunday morning, the devil would put something in that car to keep me from doing what God wanted me to do, for being messed up when I got to church. And my daughter was always the one that she kept Daddy in line. One morning we was going there, I got to fighting in the back seat, and I'd done something or said something. Daddy, I thought you was a preacher. See, even when we get mad, even when we lose our temper, we got to remember that, hey, God is in control. And we got to act like that because people are looking at, you don't realize how much people are looking at the way you act. You do that? And you know what? Go back to my original story from Oklahoma City. From that day on, when I went to one of those meetings with those architects and the sheriff of whatever county that is in Oklahoma City, I acted like a Christian and I walked like a Christian. Before, I didn't. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I didn't. I didn't say nothing. I was wanting to get that, you know, that $1 million jail job or $2 million jail job, but they were, that's what I was wanting to do, and I was willing to do whatever I want. You see, we've been studying Wednesday night in John, and that's exactly what Pilate did. He gave Jesus, not because he really wanted to, but because he didn't want to hurt the people. This verse says, do not restrain your lips. Tell people about Jesus Christ. Act like Jesus Christ. Do what Jesus would do. And don't go out there and live like the rest of the world does. And come here on Sunday and expect God to bless you, because God cannot bless a sinner. God don't like sin. Verse 10 says in the Psalm, I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your love kindness and your truth from the great assembly. God is saying, I have not hidden any of my word. I have not hidden it. I have proclaimed it from the very beginning, and you, O people, have got to listen. And not only do we have to hear God's word, but we got to do God's word. Go back to the very beginning now. Ashamed. People tell me all the time. I may be stepping on some toes. I love each and every one of them. People tell me, I just can't pray in public. What is that? Is that not being, is it because you're bashful, you're timid? What does it boil down to? People tell me, you know, I just can't witness. What is that? Are you ashamed to tell somebody that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Are you ashamed to tell somebody that there's a way that they can get to heaven? There's a way that they can have eternal life and live forever and ever in total peace and health and harmony? Are you hiding that from them? I think maybe it was in a devotion I wrote, but I've said it before. If you buy a new house, if you buy a new car, if you buy a new dress, if you buy a new pair of shoes, if your kid does something good, you're going to tell everybody. Jesus Christ went to that cross and gave his life for you and I. He shed his last blood on that cross for the remission of your sin. It is by his mercy, by his grace, and his righteousness that we are saved. And that's the only way. I've read it. It's the only way. The word says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We have to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he said and do what he said. Now, I talked about last Sunday. You're not perfect. You're not going to never be perfect. You're going to fall. You're going to get into mud holes of life. You're going to run off the road. But you know what? Once you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you run off in the ditch, all you got to do is say, Father, forgive me. He'll drag you right out of that mud hole, put you right back on the road, and wipe you off and clean you up, and you go right on. You see, that's what he did not come into the world to abolish the law. He came into the world to fulfill the law. As I talked about last week, nobody can obey the law perfectly. Remember, I told you, you could go down this road and you can drive 55 if that's what the speed limit says, you're okay. But when you go 52, you're in trouble. You broke the law. And if you choose to live by the law, you choose to be perfect. There's not a perfect one in here. Go read the little book of James. Don't take book 45 minutes. There is not a perfect one in here. And James says, if there's one in here that says that, there's the truth not in here. You see, we have to give it to God. We have to do what God says. But think about it. Ashamed. Feeling ashamed. Guilt. Disgrace. Do you think Jesus Christ, when he was before Pontius Pilate and Herod, that he wasn't feeling your guilt? He wasn't feeling your pain? He felt he had to. Without what Jesus went through on the cross, you and I could not ever have salvation. He took our guilt. He took our shame. He took our sin. And they nailed him to the cross. And he died. And as we read the other night on Wednesday night in John, when he bowed his head, he said, "It is finished." And people, it's finished. You have to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's all it is to it. And then you do as good as you can do. You be as good as you can be. You do the best as you can do. You go to church. You read your Bible. When you have a chance to help the needy, help the poor, to pray for the sick, when you go to a restaurant, you just bow your head and pray regardless. And Jesus Christ will not only bless you, he will bless those around you, and we don't even realize it. You do not realize what your action will do for you, what will do to reach somebody. Again, I want to read one more, verse 18 in Romans chapter 1. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." You see, if we're not doing what God says do, we are suppressing the truth. Like I said, you get a new car, you're going to tell everybody. Get a new house, buy some property, new pair of shoes, new dress, new suit. You're going to tell somebody about it. Why can't we tell somebody about Jesus Christ? Why can't we just tell somebody about it? Why can't we stand up and say, "I'm a Christian"? Paul stood on the street corner. See somebody standing on the street corner, I promise you, 90% of us in here are probably more. If we were walking down, let's say, downtown Houston somewhere, and you saw some old boy in raggedy clothes standing on the street corner preaching the Word of God and reading the Word of God, you'd probably say, "Look at that old thing. It's pitiful somebody act like that. He's proclaiming the Word of God." Remember John the Baptist when he come out of the wilderness, dressed in camel hair, eating honey, and proclaiming the Word of God, proclaiming the righteousness of God. And I submit to you this morning that you and I, every one of us, nobody's exempt from doing what God tells you to do. And he tells us, do not be ashamed of the gospel. Let's pray. Father God, I come to you this morning and I praise you and I honor you and I love you. Father, again, thank you for the opportunity, Lord God, to speak your word, Lord God. And Father, I pray right now, God, that Your word hasn't fell on deaf ears, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit right now is dealing with people's hearts. God, I pray that that they would take the word that we've heard. And God, not be ashamed of it. Father, every time I think about being ashamed, I think about you dragging that cross up and down those roads, being beaten and being tormented, being spit on, being cursed for me. And God, not only for me, but everybody that hears my voice, whether it be on the internet right now, God, or whether it be sitting in this church out, I pray that they would understand, Lord God, and Father, that they would accept your calling on their life. And God, they'd just simply say, Father, forgive me. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe that you died. I believe that you rose from the dead. I believe that you've gone to prepare a place for us, and you're going to come back and get us. And Father, whether I go in death or whether I go in the rapture, God, I pray that you forgive me and I go be with you. Father, I pray right now as we stand all over this house and we play a hymn of invitation, Lord God. I pray that people would come and pray, Lord God. I pray that if there's one here that doesn't know you, that they'd answer that call, Lord, just like I did one day, Lord. Seems like 100 miles to you, Lord God, but you're right there with them. If they would just say that prayer, God, we give you the praise and we give you the honor. In your name we pray. Amen.